Blog Talk Radio. Blessings. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Vernon Muhammad. I'm your host. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak to all those who are observing this holy month of Ramadan. Thank you for joining me. We're at our Greenbelt Studios coming out of Greenbelt, Maryland. It's the first time broadcasting from this location. We're looking for more great things to happen from here. We are just coming off some very intense, wonderful, and interesting events over the last 24 hours. Those of you who have been paying attention know that the Zimmerman trial, the murder of Trayvon Martin, was found not guilty, and the verdict that was announced last night put a lot of people on edge and sent a lot of people, to various directions. So we want to make sure that we're speaking some calm and some peace and sanity into the atmosphere and make sure that as far as we can reach and as much influence as we can have, we are a force for good. We are a force for change and empowerment as far and as wide as we can actually spread that. So I've asked some people to join me for a discussion. We're going to have a wonderful time this evening. We've got quite a nice section of the map covered, as a matter of fact. We got a good sister who is on the line from South Carolina. She goes on Facebook under the name of Diatoma Clarity, but her name is Sister Jamie X, my good sister. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, sis?
Wa alaikum salam. I'm a viewer, sir, and I'm blessed. And I'm actually from out of Memphis, Tennessee, sir.
Memphis, Tennessee. Whoa, I'm thinking South Carolina. I got the Carolinas on my brain. I remember you said Tennessee too. I don't know why Carolina stuck in my head.
Yes, sir. That's fine.
How are you feeling?
All praises due to Allah, highly favored. It's been a beautiful Ramadan, so I'm like just really filled with the spirit right now. I bear witness there's no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad, whom all holy praises are. Forever do a fully witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his divine Messiah, Christ, in our midst. And the Honorable Elijah Minister Louis Farrakhan is their divine messenger and reminder and warner. Just want to greet everyone that's listening and everyone that's on the line. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum salam and Ramadan Kareem. And then we head a little north. I'm going to make sure I get this one right now. We're going all the way across the border. We're going to Canada. We got our brother from Montreal, Brother Mikhail Youssef Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How you doing today?
Brother, I'm feeling good like a winner should. Thank Allah. I'm feeling well. And I'm
glad to be on
the line with you. Ramadan Kareem, brother. How's your fast going?
Fast is good, brother. I hope you don't get too much background noise and you'll have to forgive me. We have but a handful of nice days up in Canada, and so when they do come, you have to spend them outside. So I took a little trek outdoors, get some fresh air. We're doing fine. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. We understand, brother. No problem. We're going to roll with whatever comes your way. So a lot of people don't know that we have believers in the Nation of Islam up in Canada. Brother Mikhail is one of the special assistants to the Caribbean for the Nation of Islam. So not only are we spanning the border in Canada, but we're also reaching out to our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean through our brother Mikhail. So pleasure to have you on, brother. And also, yes indeed, we also have on with us the author out of, we're going to go across the country now. We're going to go down to, I believe it's Houston, Texas. We got our brother Derek Jibril, who is the author of the new book that he just released, just came out with, and is making sure that everybody knows a little bit about the Inner Sanctum of Self book. So you'll be hearing more about that book. These are people that we're going to have on future shows as well, feature them for what they do and for the value that they bring. But I wanted to call them to the table and make sure that we can have some sane conversation around what's going on. So, Brother Derek, if you're on the line, assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Walaikum salam, and walaikum salam to gentleman who's here on this panel. I don't know if you all could hear it, but right now we have a thunderstorm system coming through Houston, so it sounds like we're hearing a lot of choppiness from you all. So just bear with me, hopefully that I'm not going to be too choppy, but I'm going to make sure that we are going to have a lively discussion with the truth tonight. So thank
all
you for having
you to Allah. Yes, sir, brother. Did I get it right? You're in Houston, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got one right. Good God. Thank you. All right. So, my brothers and my sisters, tell me, let me do this. Let me start up in Canada with you, Brother Mikhail. I'm sure that you've heard the news, you know, the happenings and whatnot is going on, and you have your ear to the ground. What are you hearing from people in terms of their response to the verdict that was rendered last night, and in terms of you know, what people are thinking just on their own, what we ought to do? Because I'm hearing a lot of stuff, but are you hearing the same thing? Is the sentiment the same up in Canada?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, the case in itself being it's a flagship of the situation of black people in America. Now, it's not a reality that we black people live up in here in Canada, but we are abreast of what's going on in the United States. All of us have family in the United States, and because, you know, West Indians are all over. So everybody, just so people understand that everybody, you know, 95% of black people in Canada are actually from the Caribbean, of either first or second generation immigrants. Mm-hmm. So we all have family in the United States, and so we understand the situation. We don't live it. It's not a daily reality for us, but we understand it. So we look, you know, our people look at this trial with great interest. But sober-minded, there was no much expectation of justice. And so there was no surprise when, you know, read Twitter and Facebook comments from people, you know, black people in Canada. There's no surprise. Nobody was expecting justice to come, but there's still a bitter taste to have to taste it again.
Mm. Got you. And Sister Jamie, where you are, what's the sentiment in terms of the people that you're interacting with, and what are you hearing with your ears on the ground?
Well, of course, with being down south, It's been ugly. It's very ugly right now. A lot of people are upset. You got a lot of Caucasians that's actually looking for trouble. So they're walking around with guns and things of that nature, and you know that they have them. So, you know, we just got to be wise right now. I've been posting all day about just being, you know, wise, think before we act, be very careful. Matter of fact, one of my girlfriends down in Florida expressed to me that she went out last night, her and her son, and there was a white gentleman that was at the store that she went in, and he just was staring at her, just was staring really hard at her and her son. You know, she didn't say anything to him. She just ushered her son into the store, and as she's seeing him walking off, she's seeing that he was carrying something on his side. I mean, so it's like he was waiting on her to say something so that he can react to her. So we just got to be very cautious to know that this is a design plan that they're trying to basically implement martial law on our communities, and we just got to be wise. Mm-hmm. Think, you know.
That's something to think about. That's another dynamic, as a matter of fact, because you know, you go from one end of the spectrum with Brother Mikhail is experiencing, and you said people are actually walking around carrying guns. That's deep. Mm-hmm. That's something to definitely not let just pass you by and ignore. Brother Derek, what's going on in Houston? What's the sentiment like down there?
Well, down here, it's really have been quiet. Last night, we had the lady over the NAACP here, and I haven't seen too much such a report coming from most of your black townships in and around the city of Houston. But the NAACP are getting ready to file a civil rights against Mr. Zimmerman in the near future. But I do want to point out something about Florida. Florida mm-hmm. had a long history of injustice towards black people. We had Rosewood. We had the chumming of the waters with the slave babies to lure alligators as bait. The killing of Arthur McDuffie that sparked the 1980 riot. Trayvon Martin is just another link in the chain that would justify the anger of a lifeguard and his removal of the ones that's disagreeable to live with. I think with what happened with the case, and the case laid itself out, it is really a wake up call to our youth. Our youth is at the point right now to where when we look at them, they're walking around, they're talking about taking guns, they're talking about shooting each other. You know, it is really crazy out amongst our young people today. And it will take something like this with the Trayvon Martin verdict to start showing some reality to them that you are not valued in this society. And you need to start putting more value on yourself.
Mm. You're right about that. And, you know, you use the term jolting and wake-up call. I think that that's very, very significant. As I'm out with the Final Call newspaper, you know, in different parts of this part of this neck of the woods, I'm in the Washington, D.C. area, I swear my number one response from people is, I'm all right, I'm good, you know, no thank you. No matter what the situation is, sometimes I'll ask questions, you know, do you want to help stop the violence and crime in black communities?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing no thank you, you know, I'm good. That's all right.
Yes,
no
sir.
Thing. You know, so
that's what I like
that,
what the sister just said.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, what'd you say?
No, sir, I said I like what the sister just said. Because who knows exactly what was actually playing for us this night?
Uh-oh, I think we lost you, Brother Barrett.
I marched ball. That thing become a reality.
All right, you faded out for a second there, and you came back toward the end. So hopefully we understand what you said with the weather and whatnot. Hopefully you'll come back soon. All right, so I am in the D.C. area. I'm in and around D.C., Greenbelt, Maryland. I went up to Peachtree County, Maryland, Montgomery County. And also I've been paying attention to what's going on in the social network arena and listening to what events are happening, you know, where everybody's going and what people have planned. And I heard that there were rallies in D.C. I heard there were rallies in Detroit. I heard there were rallies in California. And I'm not sure if there's something in Florida. I also heard false reports of rallies and rioting in Miami, Florida. So we got to be mindful and be aware of the information that's coming out there and, you know, really sift through some of this stuff that's coming that, you know, is being publicized and think before we share links and all that stuff. But I was kind of inspired and called to action yesterday because people were immediately, you know, as soon as they heard the news, emotions were at their highest then. You know, people were just straight acting out of emotion. And just having heard Minister Farrakhan and his address in the time and what must be done, it seemed like he was really, you know, preparing us. He knew what was coming almost before the night was over. So his message yesterday was so on point to us, the believers, to us, the followers of in the Nation of Islam. And he reminded us that, number one, we've been prepared for this. We've been told for over a decade now to rise above emotions into the thinking of God and to begin to move away from irrational thought and clear our minds so that when life and the pressures of life weigh on us, when the disappointments that come in life are presented to us, we can handle that properly. We know where to go to find our balance and when to find our point of reference, and we know how to begin to move forward. So what are some of the things? Let me ask you, Brother Mikhail, if you've been in those conversations, what are some of the things that you're hearing from just the general public, not necessarily us in the nation? You know, sometimes we get into this thing, we have a conversation with ourselves, but we're being called now to go out to our people and minister to our people. So what are some of the things that you're hearing our people saying, and what do you think would be a good remedy or a good course of action for people to take, a wise course of action for people to take? That's for Brother Mikhail. Can you hear me? Hello?
Can anybody hear me? I can hear you. I think he's gone as well, too. I think I'm still here. I can ask you a question, please.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, and I'll see if I can get everybody back.
I recently had actually just posted that, you know, we need to unite. It's sad that it took for him to die the way he died, but the reality of it is, how many stories out there that is not being told about the injustices that aren't being done to us? It just so happened that they took this and propagandized it to the height that it has been propagandized. Because it took, what, over a month before people really even knew that it had happened. And so what they did was the government came down to Florida. They paid people, and this was hearsay, of course. It's all hearsay. They paid people to organize a rally for the trade to Von Monson. And so it went up to a higher level. But what about the gentleman that we just posted not too long ago when, in 2010, when the same thing happened to him? He got shot in his head, and then he was dragged by the back of a pickup truck.
James Byrd.
You know, exactly. His was more horrendous. You know, I mean, so this is planned. Everything that's going on is planned. But like I stated earlier to many people on the Facebook and other social networking sites, it takes for injustice for us to come together. We have been in America now for a little bit over 400 years. 400 years. We have been so-called free from slavery for 150 years. We cannot unite and make our own and create our own. And even when we tried, we have the Jim Crow laws that stopped us from even building and coming together. Now they've let us go. It's done. But we're so messed up mentally that even to say, let's do black, let's real black, let's come together black, is she crazy? What is she talking about? We don't black. Where they do that? You know, so it's like we're fighting against our own selves. We are in so deep in ground in mental slavery that we can't even see past our one slave owner. So the plan of action should be uniting and doing for self. The economic blueprint that the messenger set up back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. We've been screaming it for the longest. The minister has been screaming it since the 70s. When are we going to come together and do for self? It's time to go. Let go. Pharaoh let us go. He want to kill us wholesale now.
That's right.
You're right. You're absolutely right, as a matter of fact. I've been hearing different sentiments and, you know, different calls from people saying, we need to boycott. But, you know, there's no direction behind that. There's no focus energy behind that. So it's just what people are saying. I heard that people were out on the street last night protesting. And my question, you know, the person who informed me just made me question, you know, boy, protesting what? Who were they protesting? The part of town that they told me the people came out into. I'm like, okay, that's the, you know, the clubs and the restaurants. You know, that's where all the action happens when you go out on a Saturday night. So I was like, okay, but it's, you know, typically where the black people go. So I'm protesting what? Who are you boycotting or who are you protesting? And what is it? What's the message that you're trying to send? And that is the point that I tried to drive home to as many people in conversations as I spoke to. not about sending a message to anybody else at this point in time. We're not worried about, you know, who's oppressive and who's been oppressive and, you know, who's doing this to us. The greatest force is the remembrance of Allah, of course, and we know that Allah resides in us. So the greatest thing that we can do is put ourselves in position to handle what's ahead, to empower ourselves, empower our own communities, and redirect our energy and our focus, not into protesting, not into rallies, although these things have to happen. Of course, we know that, you know, when you have somebody and they're experiencing grief or they're experiencing anger or whatever it is, you have to let that play out. Okay, that's just being real. But when all that subsides, and the reason we're trying to, you know, just drop the seeds like we are is because when we get back into control of our emotion, we are then faced with, okay, what do we do now? What do we do now? We got to begin to put that energy into ourselves and our community in the most constructive way possible. We got to get the most mileage out of what's going on. Otherwise, we really don't make any motion. We don't cover any ground, and we just end up in position to have something, another injustice happen to us again. We can't ask anybody to give us justice. It's not going to work. The people that we're asking for, just like it says in the program of the Final Call on the back page, talks about what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. I'm saying this for the, you know, the audience members who may not be in the Nation of Islam. We have quite a few that listen to the show. But in the back, it talks about how we want justice and we want it applied equally to all, regardless of race or class or color. But the people that you're asking and protesting and rallying and sitting in and whatnot for justice have never given you justice for 400 years. So it's foolish to think that we're going to get something from them when it's not in them to give to us. Everything that we have that we need and that we want, we have within ourselves. But the key and the critical piece in the solution is us coming together so that we can implement these things, so that we can implement what it is we've been looking all over the place for. It's within ourselves. The ability to govern and police ourselves, the ability to provide justice or protect ourselves from injustice really is in us coming together as a unified body, forming a real community or community. And that way, just like Chinatown or just like Crown Heights in Brooklyn or, you know, Little Italy or any of these other ethnic enclaves, they have a certain measure of stability and security within them because they've come together and they've decided for themselves what's going to stand and what's not going to be allowed. That, I think, is one of the most important things we can interject into the atmosphere and into the conversation nowadays. Hold up. Brother Mikhail, I think, is back on the line with us. He said his phone was acting up. Brother Mikhail, I just opened up your mic. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
All right, no problem. Glad to have you back, brother. Glad to have you back. I was asking a question. I know that your time is limited. Of all of the guests that are on this discussion with us, you're actually going to be leaving at around the 8:15 mark. So what we want to hear from you, brother. What have you heard from people in terms of, you know, what people are saying that we should do? I heard people saying we should boycott, we should rally, this, that, and the other. What are you hearing, some of the conversation that you're hearing as you're talking to people?
Well, I mean, from the outside, right, because this is really from the outside looking in, people do expect the word, you know, protest and fight for justice keeps coming up, whether in conversation or Twitter or Facebook or whatever, other media, probably because there's might be a little lack of understanding the whole dynamics of America. But there's one thing that's, you know, that really came to my mind today, thinking on that. If we look back in the 90s, how the minister used to tell us how black people were being set up for slaughter because of the image of black America that was sent out to the world, making it acceptable are understandable for people outside of America to grasp why the government would, you know, move in the ghettos, move in the communities, because all that we saw from the outside was, you know, chaos and mayhem. And the minister, through the Million Man March, kind of curtailed that, kind of changed that dynamic. And I'm looking at this Trevon case where we all know that it's one, you know, amongst many cases. But what about the visibility that this case has had worldwide? And what does that do? And it really makes people outside of America, really, it lets them sink in their mind that there is, in fact, no justice for black people in America. I mean, all those people that might not be privy to what's going on a day-to-day and all those cases, they all seen that case. Everybody feels that this, you know, this child deserved justice. So the selling of America as a great democracy and bearer, beacon of justice that they can go around the world and impose and try to sell, it's losing its, the same way the Million Man March made them lose credibility. This also makes America look a little hypocritical to the eyes of the world. And you know, it's starting to show for what really is. Whereas black people have no justice and can't expect justice to come from that government. And people expect and hope that black people will get it together somehow. But knowing that it is complex, outside you won't hear solutions coming from outside. You'll hear support, you'll hear encouragement, but you won't hear solutions. That's for sure.
Right. That's the truth. Everything that we need is going to come
but
from
you
within.
But you have the solution within anyhow, because you've been blessed as a people to have the greatest guidance that any people can have in the person of Minister Farrakhan. You just need to actually realize it, and hopefully, this case, you know, Mr. said to the parents of Trevon Martin when he met them, he said, the life of your son was not in vain. His death is the last nail in the coffin of white supremacy. And so we need to ponder on that. What are the impacts of yesterday's news amongst black America? I think we're going to see it in the upcoming weeks in terms of attitude changing.
Yes.
Inshallah.
That is...
definitely agree with that.
That's interesting. What do y'all think? I want to hear from each of y'all, because I'm sure that by now we've all had an opportunity to at least hear some of the Time and What Must Be Done webcast from last night. Am I the only one that feels like we were kind of getting a heads up? Because the minister, so much of what he was saying seemed like it was almost like, all right, let me get you all mind right before anything even happens.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely a warning. It came right and exact. And it's like as soon as he finished, I ended up tweeting what he had retweeted. And right after I had retweeted what he had said, that's when the verdict came down. I said, Allahu Akbar.
That's right.
He was definitely
getting
us prepared for the verdict. He was getting us prepared. So I praise
yes,
you for Allah for having him in our midst.
Yes, ma'am. Because Brother Vernon had posted.
Go ahead, Brother Derek.
Can you all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Brother Vernon, you had posted on your Facebook when the minister talked about the disappointment. And how do we react to it? I mean, that was right on time. Right on time.
You know, the interesting thing for me about that, I got in late, and I wasn't right on time at the beginning of the broadcast. So, you know, whenever you catch it, it starts at the beginning. So I caught it like around 7:35. You know, he'd already been going for a little bit more than a half an hour. So I was trying to play catch up. I didn't even have time to, you know, quote what was being said, because I wanted to kind of be on time a little bit. So I was just you know, as I was just retweeting what other people tweeted. And of all the things that stood out to me that seemed like it makes sense and just seemed like I could post it without coming out of the blue, that point right there, you know, how we handle disappointment and how we prepare ourselves for being disappointed, that point, and also just what he was saying about understanding how everything works in accord with God's will. You know, everything works to fulfill Allah's purpose, even evil. So
yes,
you can look and see what's going on. And, you know, a lot of people who don't believe, they say, well, if there's a God, you know, why is he allowing this? Or why is that happening in the world? Or why do we see this? Even evil works out in the end to a good end, works out to fulfill the aims and intentions of righteousness and of Allah's will. So I'm so thankful. I was actually excited when I got the news that the verdict had been announced. You know, I kind of braced myself because the person who gave me the message, they didn't, you know, say the verdict is announced and he's been found innocent. They just said the verdict has been announced. So I'm like, okay. And but I felt like I'd been prepared. Like, okay, this is it. We're getting ready to go on stage. We're getting ready to go. The show is about to be on. The game is about to begin. And the only thing that echoed in my head was, we've got to go and minister to the people, because I know that emotional responses are going to be the first response.
Right. And that's going to be understandable. But have you all noticed something about yourselves? When all that drama was going, was taking place, didn't you feel just calm, like you already just knew what it was, what was going to come down?
Yeah.
I mean, I just sat down, man, and my wife was saying, calling me from upstairs, and I was just sitting, typing on Facebook, and when the announcement came, I mean, I was just so calm, and I just knew just what it was going to be. And I think because of our connection to the God, you know, we know how to channel our emotions. We don't, and I doubt very seriously that any of us that's within messenger's grip actually got very emotional over the outcome last night.
The emotion stems, like the minister said, the emotion really stems from being disappointed, meaning
exactly.
Expectations that are not met. That's what creates, it's not the verdict that creates the emotion, it's the disappointment. Now, that to the degree that you expect justice to come, I mean, you know, we won't fool ourselves, but we still left a little door open that maybe somehow the God's going to intervene. You know, it's mathematically possible that Zimmerman gets found guilty. But what we don't expect is to have justice, because we know that even if he is found guilty, that don't change the overall picture. But we didn't have high expectations, so we didn't have a high level of disappointment.
Whereas that's exactly what I'm talking
people
about
outside,
right there.
The people outside, if you don't grasp, if you don't have a grasp of the whole picture,
right,
then you put all your hopes in that, because you don't know where the justice is going to come from. And so that's all you do. You're hoping. You don't know where it's going to come from, and you feel powerless.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hoping that justice will come from there, anywhere. So your focus is on that, and then, boom, disappointment again, because you're right back to where you were. And that's why I guess we're kind of safeguarded, a little vaccinated, we could say, in terms of putting our hopes somewhere else, you know. And we should share that.
Right. Yes, we should. I remember one time feeling that disappointment once, and I believe all of us could say when we really felt true disappointment, because back in the 80s, when you all remember when Ronald Reagan was running for president, a lot of our people we just had this mass hysteria in the community. And you know that if that Reagan get in office, you know, that'll be the end of black people, civilization. That, I mean, my mother near really ripped up a stir. And then so that night, man, I was praying. Many of us, I'm sure, was praying. But then Reagan won by a landslide. And remember, Minister Farrakhan spoke, I think it was Power during that time. And the minister said that you prayed for Reagan, but God, I mean, no, you prayed for Mondale, but Reagan, but God ended up giving you Reagan. So that disappointment, I know what that feels like, and I tell you, I did not feel none of that last night.
I got you. I'll be honest, my heart was, if I felt disappointment, it wasn't even in the vein of the verdict or what the justice system did. If there was anything that I was hoping for, was the mother and the father. You know, I wanted my brother and my sister to be vindicated. I wanted them to receive some measure of justice from this. You know, and ultimately, we know that they will, because it's in Allah's hands, and we know what His master plan is.
That's right.
That, you know, yeah. If I felt disappointment, it's in the fact that, man, dang, that's messed up. You know, I didn't expect the power that be to do the right thing. But just the fact that still, you know, the people who are outside of our fold are in the pain that they're in. And the message that I kept echoing was that Muhammad has a way out of this madness, you know. We're building an ark.
Right.
We know that. And we know that all we can expect if we just go along with, you know, life here in Egypt land under Pharaoh is going to be more of the same. But if we do what point number four in what we say we believe is, you know, we want a separate territory of our own. We're done with this. We're done with this way of life. We're done with the false offer of integration. It's not going to work. It hasn't worked, and it doesn't work. So the best and only solution is for us to realize and separate ourselves from this so-called way of life and really, really come together and say, okay, at least if it's nothing more than a choice, because we can't go anywhere right now. I mean, we got no room. Where are you going to move to tomorrow? If all the black people say, we're tired of this, where are we going to move to? I'm sure Allah will provide
That's
a
right.
way, but, you know, let's be realistic. At first, all we have to do and all we can do is at least make the decision in our mind that we are tired and 100% dissatisfied with what we see presented to us. So that was where my heart was coming from, and that was what I felt coming from the people. So that's what I tried to address.
Yes, sir.
Is anybody going to deal with the elephant that's in the room? Anybody?
say that again.
When I say the elephant that's in the room, you know, they killed us wholesale. This is true. But they don't have to do that anymore because they have programmed us to do this now. So now
that's right.
We kill each other wholesale. And we're upset that he killed one of our brothers. But daily, in the black community, daily, somebody is dying.
Yes.
Daily. This is beginning of this year alone. Over 300 people got killed in Chicago, Illinois by blacks, not by whites. Let's deal with this elephant that's in the room. So we're getting upset with them for killing one of our brothers, but we kill hundreds of them daily. So,
that's,
you know,
right.
Yes, we're emotional, but see, God brought out of us what was already in us. The devil, the white man, is just a manifestation of what's within us right now. Let's deal with, we're going to deal with this wholeheartedly. We're going to go down to the things of the DNA and the genetics of our own makeup, our own creation. It's within us. God brought up out of us what was up in us. We are so rebellious, so hard-headed, so arrogant that the reason why we cannot come together as a people, we couldn't come together as a people from the making of the moon. That's you understand? We couldn't even come together from the making of the moon. He wanted us to come together and speak one language. So because he was dissatisfied, and then that word again, he wanted to kill everybody on the planet. So we need to go within first. study within first, and then as we study within and we understand who we are as a people within, bringing out that dissatisfaction that's within us, then we can start removing what's on the other, the skunk of the earth that's on the planet. But we got to first move the skunk out of ourselves. You know, we can't get mad at Zimmerman for doing his job. He's doing his job. Him and all the other white people on this earth is doing what they were placed here to do. We are the one that are doing what we were placed here to do. They're doing their job. Bravo. Got to give them a hand. You know, can't get mad at them for doing what they came to do. They was made to do exactly what God made them to do. So who can we get? As they would ask us, what was I reading? Can you get mad at the? You can't get mad at the pot or the clay. I believe it's in the Bible, if I'm not mistaken. Forgive me if it's not. But how could you get mad at the clay when it was the potter that produced the clay? We just got to study the pot. Why did the potter make what he made? What was the reason? Why was it designed the way it was designed? There's a reason for this, and once we get to the core of our nature, we will find everything else, and then we will come together. Allah is designing this, the plan. It's like the way he's unfolding this plan is beautiful, and I'm just sitting back watching it all, but I know we all got a part in this. So we got to get up, and we got to start playing our part in this play. We have to.
Yes, we do.
I'm loving it.
Praise be to Allah.
Go ahead. I'm right on that bandwagon with you, sister. I see it. I'm thankful, number one, to be alive, to play a part in this. You know, just to witness this, first of all, but to also understand that we are actually players. We have roles, each and every one of us. There's something that we're being called on to do. There's a reason why the minister has called us to be auditors. There's a reason why he's called us to get used to going out in the community and interacting with our people. There's a reason why he has us doing and everything that he's been telling us to focus on over the past couple of years. And we say it over and over again, it's a great time. But one thing that we who are in the nation have to be mindful of is this period of darkness that has been talked about for so long. You know, there's going to be a time when there's no one to tell us what it is we should be doing. And we got to keep that light, keep that motivation, that fire going within ourselves so that when the time comes, I mean, we're being prepared. We can just bear witness that just last night, beforehand, he gave us what we needed so that we can act appropriately in the moment. That's been going on for years now. So we got to focus on that and remember and be mindful of that, because as we experience more and more and more things in the near future, we're going to be called on to act appropriately, to do what we are supposed to do and what we're meant to do, what we're destined to do. So we got a great, great destiny ahead of us. We got something great that we're going to accomplish, and it's a blessing, a real blessing that we can't take for granted that we are here and that we're able to play our part. So I'm thankful to Allah for that. Now, check this out. Brother Mikhail, I know that you're on a very tight time.
Sir.
You got about less than 15 minutes to go. So I want to let you have your say, brother. What else can you say to speak into this matter?
I hear what sister is saying, and a lot of people brought it up as a point throughout to say that we shouldn't be so mad at Zimmerman while we're doing the same thing. And it's true, yet it is not so much about Zimmerman, deserving punishment, as it is what was at stake was the justice system, not Zimmerman. Nobody's surprised that a white man going to shoot down a young black man. The burden of proof is really on the justice system. Are they going to do their job? And even though, you know, we have an issue of, a black-on-black crime, we got a lot of issues, but they can be taken separately. I'm a little cautious in trying to put this aside to say, well, we got bigger fish to fry. We got all these fish to fry, and we got, you know, we got vegetables to cook, and we got rice to cook. You know, we got a full meal. And this thing... Now the people got their focus on it. Everybody right now has an opinion on it, a big or small opinion, but everybody is focused on it. And when you got everybody looking at something, I'm not sure it's the wisest thing to say, well, everybody look over there instead. I think we can look, use that focus, use that momentum to bring in something and not just divert the attention. We'll have plenty of other times to teach on black crime. But right now people are looking at this thing, and it will last but for so long because people's attention span is, you know,
right,
and changes pretty quick. So, you know, within a week, you know, all these hoodies are gone. And so I think but that while it's hot, while people are looking at it, it's you know, it's a teaching moment. It's a great teaching moment to make sure that we can drill into people the most important thing out of this whole issue. And it's not that Zimmerman should be hanging on a lamppost or that, you know, Trayvon shouldn't have died. The thing that was shown yesterday is that emphatically, you cannot expect justice out of the justice system. They have said yesterday with this side of a young black male is justifiable. They legally said that. It's important we drill that in people's minds. So when all this emotion and disappointment is gone, they'll have this as an actual fact in their mind. Because right now they're not processing the whole information. They're just processing emotions right now. It should be our role to bring this into a more rational realm and make sure they grasp this. Make sure that they come out of that week until the next big thing happens, that at least they understood. They will not have any more hopes towards this justice system. And then if you don't have hope and you don't expect and you still need justice, then your mind will on its own try to figure out, okay, well, then where am I going to get the justice if I'm not to expect it from there anymore? I still need justice. You know, you go to a restaurant, they don't have your patties or whatever. You know, you want your chicken old. Your Wednesday, they don't have it. You go Thursday, they don't have your chicken again. After a week, if they don't have chicken, you know, you got to stop going to that restaurant if you want your chicken. You're going to try and find yourself another restaurant. Now, we're coming back to the same place. You know, we always coming back there. I think if anything out of this, we should help people understand. Stop expecting it from there. Start looking somewhere else. And the next question is, well, where are we going to find it? Then that's when we can start teaching slowly the fact that we can do it ourselves.
I think that's a good method.
But I thank you for the invitation, and may Allah bless you all this Ramadan. And we'll be in touch.
Brother,
okay.
All right, my brother. Same to you. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Kareem.
All right.
I'd like to say something, brother, right
quick.
Go ahead,
brother Derek.
I like what the sister said about the elephant in the room. You know, the elephant in the room right now is that our people are in error. We are totally in error. Look at our lifestyles, the way we treat each other is ugly. My wife was telling me something about there was two of our young sisters outdoors twerking, which I didn't even know what that was until they told me. Twerking in front of a young little brown about, excuse me, 1 or 2 year old. And now they doing these little dances all out in Walmart and stuff. Our young people are in, you know, in extreme error. Something like what took place with Trayvon, they are crying today. But it's just like Brother Mikhail just said, what's going to happen tomorrow? If you're that desensitized to death now, then what is it going to matter to you a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 months from now? We got to get control.
All right. You know, that brings us to another phase of the conversation, because as I said in the beginning and in the description of the show, there were quite a few people who, as a response to this, automatically said, well, okay, we should boycott the whole state of Florida, which I, you know, don't fully understand. You know, I haven't really heard a good explanation of yet. You know, I heard people say, okay, we're not going to travel to Florida and we're not going to buy anything that comes out of Florida, which I understand, which I think is just orange juice. I don't know what other product is actually produced in Florida, but even so, I don't see the effectiveness, I don't see the value in a boycott in a situation like this. So what the thought that came to my mind in terms of meeting people where they are, you know, since that's where the conversation is, a more appropriate response, and I guess this is, it's good that the three of us are on this this phone and this conversation now, because each one of us has in some way been focusing on this. A better way to redirect that energy now, instead of talking about boycotting somebody else, is turning that energy and turning our efforts and our emotion into making it deliberate that we go and support black businesses. When there was a place where I had an opportunity to share a little writing, and one of the points I made in that writing was that if we don't empower individuals in our own community, then we'll never be able to secure our own communities. We'll never be self-sustaining communities. We have a debt, not a debt, we have an obligation to support black businesses, socially responsible black businesses that are going to reinvest in our own communities. That's the only way we can prevent things like, you know, the injustices that happen. That's the only way we can prevent somebody from coming into our community and victimizing one of us, much less anybody anywhere thinking that they can just attack or kill or do whatever with one of our own, no matter where we may be. If we have the muscle of our own to fight back with, they said that George Zimmerman was able to go and raise $500,000 for his legal defense fund. Well, you know, NAACP aside, I don't know what kind of value they brought to the situation. I don't recall seeing any black lawyers on the prosecution side. But, you know, if we have black businesses that are able to put resources behind the pressing needs in our community, that's muscle, that's power, that's leverage. That's leverage and power that we can go to politicians with to get what we need. That's leverage that we can use to insulate ourselves against what politicians may do, because we all know that politicians can be bought, sold. We know politicians can be immobilized when their districts carved up and redrawn. So even if they take black people who live in a certain neighborhood, a certain part of town, and say, well, okay, you know, y'all aren't one unified district anymore. Well, because we've organized ourselves along personal lines, among direct relation lines with the business owners and the business with the people in the community, doesn't matter if you draw an imaginary line down the street and say this is District 1 and District 2, I'm still going to support these people who are over here in this part of the community, and these people who are within traveling distance of this business are still going to go and patronize, and we're going to form a circle amongst ourselves and take care of our own needs. That's the number one area that I think needs to be focused on, instead of talking about boycotting and putting the focus on, you know, other people, white people, what they do, and, you know, who's oppressing us or opposing us. We got to turn that power back into our own selves so we can still have what we need and we can get more of what we need to get ahead. So somehow I was supposed to be forming that into a question to bring y'all into it, but You know, that didn't come out right. But go ahead and weigh in on that.
Want to do that first, or it's just me?
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. You got the mic.
All right. Brother Vernon, I have reached a point in my life now that I'm just looking for just any black business to support. I'm looking for those black businesses who truly support the Nation of Islam and black people in general, as you alluded to, are socially responsible. We have been giving our money to those who does not reciprocate anything back to the black community, not one cent. And if they do, they would not even stand with us to even support us. So I'm at the point to where I'm looking within. My thoughts on this is really aimed towards our own businessmen and women in the Nation of Islam. We have business people within our own ranks that need our support. It is time for us to circumvent the dollar amongst ourselves. I think that we spend more time giving to others outside the ranks while we have black businesses existing inside the ranks of the nation. There has to be a balance. We need to support those who support us. I'm talking really to black folk, and they gotta start reciprocating back to us what we have been reciprocating all our spiritual life back to our people, man. We constantly give, and give. And what do we get in return from some of them? Just like you said, brother, you was talking to some brothers about the final call. What was the response you was receiving, Brother Vernon? What was that response you received?
The number one response is, you know, I'm all right. No, thank you. No, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. I receive invitations to churches. Okay, yeah, come to my church. You know, but the minute I turn around and go and visit their churches, then I ask them to come visit mine. Then, you know, they don't want to come. I can understand. But where's the reciprocation, though?
Mm.
See, this is what I'm looking for nowadays. I had asked a lot of people that come in contact with me on Facebook that for this Ramadan, let's spend money with our brothers and sisters that have businesses within the nation. Let's start turning the dollar inward. Let's find out what each other do. And if you have something that I want to purchase, I'm going to make sure I make that purchase. I'm doing this for the whole entire month, and I had other people to chime in and say they're going to do the same thing. We got to make a start somewhere. And why not start doing this month when we're supposed to be giving charity out anyway? But that's my feelings on it.
Exactly. I feel you on that. Sister Jamie, go ahead. Do you have something to say?
You already know me. I'm all about coming together as one, spending dollars a month, us creating our own system, our economical system, trying to help each other to build. The biggest key thing is that a lot of people don't know how. They want to know where to start. Where? How do we even decide? You hear most people saying, I hate my job. I hate my job. I wish I had my own. And the biggest key is to our people are not educated how to get started, where to go, what do they want to do. And then once we do get started, they get frustrated, like with me. My biggest frustration is people do not want to pay my worth. That's my biggest frustration. You know, we have these businesses. They go out and spend hundreds and thousands of dollars with Caucasian and other people. Because there is no compromising with anybody else. If there's a price, there's a price. But when it comes to us, they want to go, oh, well, can I give you $100? What about
cut the price.
Can I go? And you don't want to say no because, you know, you got to eat. You know, you got to eat. So you don't want to say no. You know, so I do my best at work because regardless, I'm going to do my best, even though you only gave me the consultation amount. that I would charge for some digital work or whatever. You gave me the consultation amount, but knowing if you would have went to someone else, you would have paid full price for them to do, you know, something else that you wanted them to do. And it's like, it's really with us, it's like, oh, God. You know, and I pray to Allah, and I ask for patience. And I ask for patience, you know, because I know we're dealing with us, we're dealing with bad people, but the reality of it is, when are we going to start paying for our work? You know, when are we going to start compromising? When are we going to understand, you know, our brother and sister got to eat too? I have children, and I don't have a husband. So I am the breadwinner of this home here. You understand?
Right.
So I have to pay for everything on my own. No complaints. Allah made me strong. So Allah wakwa. You know, but it's like, when are we going to stop compromising and stop it saying, okay, you know what? My brother and sister trying to do something. Let me give them a few extra dollars. When I see one of us going for self, I'm going to go above and beyond to give my sister and her brother their worth. Even though they don't even charge me that much, they look at me and say, praise you to Allah. Thank Allah. Because you're trying to do for yourself. I'm not going to have you undercut anything because of the fact that you're black. And a lot of people look at me and I say, well, how much are you going to charge me? They look at me like, you're going to pay me? Yes, I'm going to pay you. You're my sister. You're my brother. Of course I'm going to pay you. Because if I was out anywhere else with one of these white people, they're going to charge me. So we need to stop doing that to one another. Stop compromising, trying to make each other compromise. Pay each other our worth. Network amongst each other. If it's a little bit higher, so what? And if it is a little bit higher, if we know somebody that's in the nation that can help that brother to lower those costs, then do so. A lot of our brothers and sisters have to charge more because they can't get the product out as quickly. They don't know how to get the product out nationwide. There are people like me, myself, that can help them with that situation. Oh, you need to market that? Oh, you need to sell that? Oh, you need to get somebody to buy that? Oh, you need to get that into the stores? Or what else do you need? Well, let me offer my assistance. Now, you might not be able to pay me what I'm worth, but I'm willing to give you what I can give you, and then we work from there. And when you do get the money coming in, remember your brother. Remember your sister. But if you got the money, pay them. So that's my
That's my feeling, too.
I love it. I can't, I've got no problem with that. We're creating the culture as we go. And
yes, we are.
You know, it's easy to think that, okay, you know, I'm a part of this big, you know, worldwide transition that's taking place, and I'm going to wait and see what happens. But wait and see is not what we're supposed to do. You know, we are creating this. We are co-creators with Allah. When we submit our will to do His will, then the actions that we take actually produce the new world that's coming in. So we got to realize that, that's a part of the brotherhood, the sisterhood that we're trying to build, the family structures and the closeness within the hearts of the believers one for another. That's something that we have to work to model and establish until it becomes as regular as bean pie, you know. That's something that we are really going to have to make our generations work. You know, it passes if we just form loose associations and we don't make sure that they go deep within to the roots of our society, of our community, then after a generation or two, you say, it's not like it used to be. But we got to make sure that that's something that is so strong and so tight within us, you know, that gets passed on just like wearing a headpiece gets passed on. That gets passed on just like making sure that you got a suit and a bow tie. We don't just want to look right. We want to be right. I don't want to just call you Sister Jamie. I don't just want to call you Brother Derek. I want y'all to know that Brother Vernon is your brother. If you never see in life, you got a brother in another part of the country that if you cried out in need and you said you needed something, I would do what's necessary, what I could do to help you. Know that for real. And that's what we have to make spread all amongst the believers. That's what we have to make a cornerstone of our nation. Just like, you know, fried rice go with Chinese brotherhood and that type of camaraderie, especially when it comes to supporting one another, has to be synonymous with Nation of Islam. That's just what we do. That's just what we're known for. So,
and that's
with that
so
in mind,
true.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. That's so true because one sister sent out And I love the way she did this. She sent out an instant message to all her Facebook friends, and she was asking for us to help her to pay off her remaining her final debt with Howard University. You remember that? And the young sister,
yes, sir.
What did she do? She turned around and she did us a little drum roll, and she said she paid off every bit of that $4,000. Now, if we can do that just with that little model, we got to know each other's needs. We are people who sits up in the mosque amongst one another. We're suffering. Some of us, man, we barely have food in our homes. But we don't say nothing to nobody because we silent sufferer. We say nothing. But one brother probably be sitting in next to you. He's there giving his last in charity, but his life is on the verge of being cut off. Now, from what I understand, there is a safety net for that within the ranks, but that's for us in the ranks. So I'm not going to say very much about that. But we need to know about these things. We need to know about each other. Stop being so doggone proud. Everybody have problems, especially doing this type of work. And if you're working for black folks, just like my sister was saying, man, they already don't want to pay your price already. And they look at you as though you're trying to beat them. No, we're not beating you. We just asking you for a price, you know, and that's it. You go pay $100 somewhere else. Why not spend that $100 with me? So I'm in 100% agreement with you, sister.
Thank you, Summer. Yes, sir.
Exactly. We're winding up now. We're coming into the last 20 minutes, and I want to highlight some points. I want to give some shout-outs or at least, you know, put it out there so you know what to expect. We have some things that are coming up, and we want to definitely make sure you're informed about that. But I also want to give you all a chance to highlight what it is you do, where people can find you. So let's do this just to, you know, close off this conversation, since we're focused on the Trayvon Martin case and the sentiment and the mindset that people have as it relates to the verdict that just came down and the feeling of uneasiness that many people are feeling. As a matter of fact, there's a right now, I think at 8:00 on the campus of Howard University, there was a march from Malcolm X Park over to Howard University where they having a candlelight vigil. And we were supposed to be having a boots on the ground call. Wait, hold the phone. We got somebody on the campus of Howard University. This is a future MGT, so y'all better treat her right. She don't know she's gonna be an MGT yet, but you know I'm working on it. I ain't faking. I'm working on it. Sister Sean, peace and blessings to you.
Hi, how are you? Peace and blessings. I just have a small correction. Boots are no longer on the ground. I did try to call you from Malcolm X Park, but it was a wait time, and it was so lively, and there were so many just festivities and people and congos going. It was a very nice presence, and the presence left there, and I took many pictures. I guess once you go back, Vernon, to your Facebook page, you'll be able to get them off of my Facebook page. But it was a very, very nice presence, peaceful. And then they made their way on up to Howard University. Now, we rode by there. There were some other secondary festivities. I think there's a centennial celebration of the Deltas or something. So it was kind of like a mixed bag up that way. But after I had done the Malcolm X Park, I was kind of done for Sunday afternoon. But I did really try to call you live. I wanted you to hear the congos. I just kind of wanted you to hear all the background and just to kind of be there live. But unfortunately, I just couldn't wait to get through.
I hear you. I appreciate that. I was trying to watch the switchboard and look out for your number, but I didn't see it until just now. We got so caught up in the conversation. But I appreciate you taking the time and calling me from there. I know the energy was high. What was it, when you were at the rally, when you were at Malcolm X Park, what was the sentiment? You said, you know, the of course the emotions are there, but were people like down in the dumps, or what did it seem like people were saying?
There was a central speaker. The organization, I think, that organized that rally is the Black United Front, and they were there, and I guess members and maybe spectators, people who just happened to be in the park, I don't know, but it did seem to be kind of planned. But everybody was kind of there. They did a few speeches in the middle of the park, and everybody kind of circled around the center speaker. And after that was done, they did like a kind of like a little march to one end of the park, to the other end of the park where the music was, and right down, and marched right on up to Howard University. So they were very, very, I would say, I mean, they weren't totally jovial. I mean, it was like music and things, but it wasn't like total, okay, we're having a big celebration. People, put it like this, people seem to be attentive. You had folks' attention. It was kind of fun and peaceful, but then again, it was like kind of serious too.
Gotcha. So people are really looking to find out, well, okay, what now? What's going to happen now? They're really looking and paying attention to get some guidance.
I think people were on high alert there. Their demeanor, their presence, their mode, and, you know, what they were. I was kind of really bouncing around and trying to get pictures and do all these other things, and I wasn't able to kind of really hear the content of the speeches. But something was going on there. So now the Black United Front also has a Facebook page, too. So I hope to kind of double back with their page to kind of get more information. But that was pretty much it for me.
Okay. Well, all right. Thank you so much, Sean. I know you are always on the go. You get from the boots on the ground to, swinging around the beltway now.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me.
All right, thanks. All right. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Peace and blessings. All right, they've got a new sister coming, Sister James.
Praise God,
you know.
Can't wait for her to come.
All right, so.
Soon.
indeed. So we are getting ready to close out. Brother Derek's line just dropped off. So Sister Jamie, why don't you tell us what it is you do, what your business is, and, you know, that'll be a precursor because you're going to come back to the No Romance Without Finance show for a future show.
Yes, sir. Inshallah. Yes, sir. Well, all praise to Allah. Currently, the name of my business is called PA Solutions Personnel Services. Basically, what I specialize in, personal assistant, but more than that, I do website design, logo design, all type of digital work as well, digital design work as well as photography. I help to get businesses started. I help to do paperwork, licenses, the whole nine yards. Yes, I can do grant writing and things of that nature as well, too. I am looking to help set up a temp services as well, too, and then as well as just do everything virtually as well as trying to get different distribution centers and things of that nature as far as temporary services to help businesses get started in their cities and things of that nature. If I can get some contracts, inshallah. That's basically what I do. Most of my work I put on Facebook. You can see a lot of my work under my assumed Facebook name, Diatoma Clarity. A lot of people are like, Diatoma Clarity, it means goddess of clear wisdom.
Right.
I chose that name for special purposes, Diotima. I didn't, when I first chose the name, it was Diotima. Diotima was Socrates. She taught Socrates. She was an Egyptian goddess, an Egyptian woman. I believe she was a prophetess that taught Socrates, the one god, basically, Islam. They'll never call it Islam, but she taught Socrates Islam when he came over to Egypt, and he went back to the Greeks and was teaching one god, and of course they persecuted him, but Diotima was his teacher. She was an Egyptian black woman. Of course, clarity meaning clear, concise, whatever. And so that's why I chose that name. But I goal. My real name, of course, is Sister Jamie X, originated from Chicago by way of Gary, Indiana. I've been in the nation now 8 years. Been a registered Muslim for 8 years now. Praises be to Allah. And I'm just trying to, you know, get us to network, get us to come together. Any questions, I am me. Also got my website up, P as in Paul, A as in Apple, personnelvs.com. I'm having a little technical issue because I'm waiting on AT&T, but I do have the website, PASolutionsVS.com is my website. I also, I have different groups where you can come in on Facebook. Just I am me. I'll add you to the different groups and things of that nature. And if you have any type of business consultation that you need, questions, you know, same thing, just contact me. Okay?
All right. Yes, all right. And Brother Derek, why don't you share with us a little bit? I know that I'm going to have you back for a future show as well, but share a little bit about your book and about what you do in general.
Yes, sir. My name is Derek Jabril. I live in Houston, Texas. I've been in the nation for a little over probably 25 to 26 years. Sister Jamie, you sound like you've been in the nation forever, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I got to give a shout out to Sister Sudan Muhammad. I've write for her magazine, Youth Creation. Are you familiar with that, Brother Vernon?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
She's right here in D.C. with me.
Yes, she is. I have a regular feature article there. You may have read something that I wrote in that in there. I work with high school students down here in Houston. I also started a youth after school kind of like program. It's called Character Building for Life. And we focus on the teachings of the nation, but I put it in such of a way to where I could feed it to them, because if we just come out, you know, we're in the school district, they're not gonna tolerate you up in there saying that I'm a Farrakhan and all that there. But there's a way we can take the messenger's teachings and write it in such of a form to where it's feeding the minds of the youth. And this is where we need this. Those of us who do educate, that's something that we need to start doing on a more regular basis, because it's really killing our youth that they're not receiving these messages. But I've released my first book. It's called The Inner Sanctum, Accessing the Favor of Allah, God Through Theme Prayer, Today, Tomorrow, and Forever. This book is just like a companion book. It's something that you read every day. It's a different theme that's in the book every day. And if you read that thing and you become consistent with the prayers that's in there, you'll find out that the favor of God have always been with you at all times. All you have to do is just ask for it or just even look around. It's there with you. And this is what we kind of go into the book with. I mean, all of us, we need the favor of God. But you don't realize that with all the work that you do in the name of God, God's favor is with you every day. And you just got to tap into it. And this is what the book is dealing with. And, brother, how many more minutes do we have?
We only have a few more minutes, and I got to wrap up in a minute.
Okay, because I wanted to say something a little serious about what the minister said last night that okay. I hope we got the point about. When he was quoting that John A. Hobson, A Study of Imperialism, notice what he said. He said those, those lower race tend to disappear who are incapable of profitable exploitation by superior white settlers, either because they are too savage for effective industrialism or because the demand for labor does not require their presence. When we look at the condition of black and Hispanic youth, don't they look savage? The words that the minister pointed out signifies a hard reality that is coming to the doors of black people in the not-so-distant future. In fact, it is already here. The mass unemployment genocide of black and Hispanic youth. The term savage. Look at how we treat each other, and that's what it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Look at how we look, man. Our clothes hanging all off, tattoos all in the face, the little teardrops. We're being set up for a mass unemployment genocide. And those who dress and look like that, they're playing their part. And like sisters say, you want to get mad? Get mad at that. Because this is what's getting ready to take place. Our youth are in trouble, and if they are in trouble, then what is that going to do to us? Because they're not going to have any jobs. They're going to start pillaging the neighborhood. So we got to get real with this thing.
That's the truth, and that's why we need to put ourselves in position. We owe it to them. We are obligated to succeed and become the power brokers in our community. If not, we not only fail ourselves, but we fail them. And due to that failure, our community will implode and we will become victims of our own lack and inability to succeed. So we have to succeed. We have no choice in the matter.
That's right.
So I thank you for pointing that out, brother. It's definitely what we need to be mindful of going forward. And once again, the minister has prepared us for exactly what we need to be prepared for up ahead. So with that, I want to close out the show. I want to thank you all for joining me. Thank you all for accepting my invitation, even if it was, kind of tight and close to the end. Y'all stepped up and opened up your schedule and your time for me, and I definitely appreciate that, and I look forward to having you back. We were supposed to have a break around the 8 o'clock hour, but I wanted to give Brother McHale his time, and I wanted to, just keep the conversation flowing because there was so much in it. But during the break, we normally hear from the sponsor for this show, and that is Freedom Paper Company. For those of you who don't know, during the 2011 Savior's Day, the Ministry of Trade and Commerce had a wonderful workshop symposium, and members of the Ministry of Trade and Commerce got together amongst themselves and formed a company that will produce, that produces its own brand of bathroom tissue, paper towels, trash bags, and many other products. That company is Freedom Paper Company. Every one of us uses bathroom tissue. Every one of us uses paper towels. Every one of us uses trash bags and many other products that we typically go to Walmart or Target or wherever for. You can get those things from in our nation. Support your own. Let us make sure we are doing for self by supporting our own. Go to freedompapercompany.com. www.freedompapercompany.com, and you can see the list of our products that we offer. We're also a full service janitorial supply and office supply company. So if your mosque, if your church, if your study group uses bathroom tissue, paper towels, if your dinner program uses styrofoam cups and plates and forks and spoons, we have all that as well. So make sure you go and patronize Freedom Paper Company and all the other black businesses that are within our nation so that we can begin to empower ourselves, become self-sufficient, and secure ourselves and our nation. That's what it takes.
Yes, sir.
We are at war, and business is warfare. In case you haven't noticed, our survival as a people is at stake. So with that, I want to say thank you for joining us. We got less than 50 seconds. I want to say Ramadan Mubarak. It's time to break the fast. Y'all better hurry up and get off the phone so I can drink some water. And I'm going to stop talking. So assalamu alaikum to all y'all. Ramadan Mubarak.
Well, I have another hour. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I won't drink until you get off the phone, brother. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Walaikum salam, family.